Going to read from God's Word just now, Luke chapter 15, please. A well-known passage of Scripture. The three parables of the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the parable of the prodigal son. We're just going to read from verses 1 to verse 24. Sounds long, it'll not take very long. Luke chapter 15 and verse 1. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners, and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbours, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you, that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons, which need no repentance. Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently, till she find it. And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbours together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I had lost. Likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. And he said, A certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven, and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring in his hand, and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead, and is alive again. He was lost, and is found. And they began to be merry. And God will bless his word to all of our hearts this evening. Luke chapter 15 is one of the best known and the best loved chapters in all of the Bible. At the beginning of this chapter, there are two things that we should note right away. Look at verse 1, please. It says, Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. Here we have something that's very significant. Sinners were attracted to the Lord Jesus. It says, Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. Sinners were attracted to the Lord Jesus. Why? Well, it wasn't because he catered to them or he compromised his message. Those things just did not happen. But the reason why sinners were attracted to the Lord Jesus, and the reason why sinners drew near to the Lord Jesus, was simply this, because he cared for them. The Lord Jesus understood all about them. He knew their problems. He knew their difficulties. He knew every detail of their lives. And he really, genuinely cared for them. Here was genuine love from the Lord Jesus. genuine concern for lost souls, genuine interest in these people. The Lord Jesus simply wanted to reach out to them and to touch them. In verse 1, we read publicans and sinners. In those days, they were the outcasts in society. Very few people had any time for them or had any interest in them. But the Lord Jesus was different. Sinners were attracted to him because he genuinely cared for them. Friends, this evening, I wonder, is that what our church is like this evening? I believe it is. We genuinely care for the lost. We have an interest in souls who are lost. We have a concern for people who are on their way to a lost eternity. We want to reach out to people in the community round about us and see them won for the Savior. Something very significant in verse 1. Look at verse 2, please. It says, "And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." If in verse 1 we have something very significant, in verse 2 we have something that's very sad. The Lord Jesus was wanting to reach out to these people. He was wanting to help them. He was wanting to care for them. He was wanting to love them. And all he got was criticism from the scribes and the Pharisees. All he got was put down. The Lord Jesus was trying to do something here that was positive. He was making every effort here to do something that would help these outcasts in society. And in verse 2, the Pharisees do nothing but criticize him. The Pharisees had a knowledge of the Old Testament law. They were well-educated people. They knew it from start to finish. And they had a desire in their hearts and lives for personal purity. No question about that. But friends, they had no love for lost souls. I'll say that again. They had no love for lost souls. I pray tonight that Lisburn Baptist Church will never find itself in a situation like that where we have no love for lost souls. I pray that each of us individually who's saved tonight will never find ourselves in a situation like that where we have no interest or no thought or no concern for lost souls who are heading for hell. Friends, this evening, sinners were attracted to the Lord Jesus. And sinners were repelled by the Pharisees. They had no thought for them. They had no time for them. They had no interest in them. They had no love for them. They had no concern for them. They didn't care about them at all. The golden text of Luke's gospel is this. It's found in chapter 19 and it's verse 10. It says, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." Why did Jesus come? The verse tells us why he came, to seek and to save that which was lost. If the Lord Jesus could do that, you and I should be reaching out to the lost. We should be praying for the lost. We should love the lost, and we should have a desire in our hearts to see them won for the kingdom of heaven. Luke chapter 15, the Lord Jesus tells three parables in this chapter. And the reason he tells three parables is very simple. Normally he would quote two parables to highlight something in his ministry, but in chapter 15 he talks about three parables. And the reason for it is this: it's to impress on every single heart, including the Pharisees, of how the lost can be found. He wanted everyone who was there that day, and he wants us to understand this evening that lost people can be found. Lost people can be saved. Lost people can have their sins forgiven. He wanted everyone to understand that. He wanted to impress it upon their hearts that the lost can be found. First of all, he tells the parable of the lost sheep. And he describes in verses 3 to 7 of how the sheep was helplessly lost. As the hymn writer said, it was out in the mountains, wild and bare. It was far away from the tender shepherd's care. The sheep was helplessly lost. And in verses 3 to 7, the Lord Jesus describes how the shepherd loved the sheep. And he describes how the shepherd went out after the sheep, and how the shepherd sought for the sheep until he had found it. And when he found it, he laid it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And then he brought it safely back to the fold. Friends, what a wonderful picture this evening of what the Lord Jesus has done for many of us here tonight. And we were like that sheep that was helplessly lost. We were lost in sin. And the Lord Jesus loved us so much, and he sought us and he found us, and he drew us to himself, and he laid us on his shoulders, and there was rejoicing in heaven. Friends, this evening, it doesn't finish there. Look at verses 6 and 7. It says, "And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance." Friends, this evening, let me make these two verses very simple and very clear. There's rejoicing in heaven when a sinner comes to know the Lord. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, if you're here tonight and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as a personal Savior, verse 7 says that there is joy in heaven over one sinner who repents. The very angels in heaven rejoice when someone comes to know the Lord Jesus Christ as a personal Savior. The second parable that the Lord Jesus tells is the parable of the lost coin. First one was the parable of the lost sheep. And then he goes on in verses 8 and 10, or 8 to 10, to tell the parable of the lost coin. And if the sheep was helplessly lost, well, then we see in verses 8 to 10 that the coin was unconsciously lost. The coin didn't know it was lost. It was only a coin. But verse 8 says, "Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle, and sweep the house and seek diligently, till she find it." Maybe you're here tonight, friends, and you're not saved. Maybe you're here tonight and you don't know that you're lost. You've never heard that before. You've never heard that you're lost in sin. You've never heard that you're heading on the broad road which leads to destruction. You've never heard that you're on your way to a lost eternity. Friends, that's what God's word teaches this evening. You're either saved or you're lost. If you're saved, you're in Christ this evening. If you're lost, you're on the broad road that leads to destruction. Maybe that's the first time in all of your life you've heard that. If that's the case, friends, listen carefully. The coin didn't know it was lost, but it was lost, and the woman had to sweep the house and search for it diligently until she found it. You know, friends, this evening, verse 9 says, "And when she had found it, she called her friends and her neighbors together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found the peace that I had lost." Friends, Luke's Gospel, chapter 15, is full of joy. The theme of joy runs right throughout the chapter. There's joy when the sheep is found. There's joy when the coin is found. And later on, there's joy when the prodigal returns home. This chapter, the theme that runs the whole way through it, is the theme of joy. As I said a few moments ago, there's joy in heaven when someone comes to know the Lord. You know, friends, this evening, if the sheep was helplessly lost, and if the coin was unconsciously lost, when the Lord Jesus began to tell the third parable, He was telling about a son, some people who would say, who was willfully lost. A young man who wandered into the far country. A young man who did exactly what he wanted to do, no matter what anybody else said. And it was his own fault. Some would say he was willfully lost. Some would call this parable the parable of the lost son. Others would call this parable the parable of a loving father. Doesn't matter what title you give it this evening. The parable of the loving father is simply because it emphasizes the graciousness of the father more than the sinfulness of the son. It could be given that title, a fantastic title. The father had a wonderful heart of love, and he reached out to his son, and he was always looking for his son, and he was praying for his son, and he was thinking about his son, and he wanted his son home. And when he came home, he got the best of treatment that anyone could ever get. It could be called the parable of a loving father. Whatever title you want to give it this evening, doesn't matter. But we're going to look at the parable of the prodigal son here just for a few moments. And I want to share some things with you this evening. Verse 11 says, "And he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living." It was the younger son who was the prodigal son. It was the younger son who was the wasteful son. It was the younger son who was the reckless son. It was the younger son that blew everything that he had. You know, friends, this evening, from verses 12 to 24, we see five different chapters in this young man's life. I'm going to be very brief, and I'm going to be very quick this evening and share those five things with you. Five chapters in this young man's life. There could be many more, but we're going to look at five of them this evening very quickly. First of all, he was rebellious. He says, "And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days hence, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living." According to Jewish law, the elder son received twice as much as any of the other sons. And if the father during his lifetime wanted to divide his inheritance, he could do it. There was no problem with that. If he wanted to share his estate, all he had to do was go ahead and do it. But it was perfectly legal as well that if one of the sons wanted his share of the estate, he could ask for it. And he would have to get it, and he could even sell it. It wasn't a very nice thing to do. It wasn't a very loving thing to do, but it was perfectly legal. And if a son wanted to do it, he could go ahead of his own choice. You know, that's exactly what happens here. In verse 12, the prodigal son comes to the father, and he says, "Give me the portion of goods that falleth to me." It was as though the prodigal son was saying to his father, "I wish you were dead. I want my share. I want everything that belongs to me. I want to have it now that I can go out and enjoy myself." Look at verse 12. It says, "And the younger of them said to his father, Give me the portion of goods that falleth to me." Look at verse 13. "Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living." It's all about self here. It's all about me here. It's all about the younger son wanting what he wanted, no matter about anybody else. He didn't care about anybody else. He wanted what he wanted to do, whatever he wanted to do. You know, many years ago, a singer called Frank Sinatra, he didn't write this song, but he sang it, and it was the song that made him famous, and it was the song called "My Way." And a line that is sung time and time again throughout that song is this: "I did it my way." And you know, friends, that sums up the life of the prodigal son here. He wanted his inheritance. He wanted his share of the estate. He wanted everything that was rightfully his eventually. He wanted it now, that he could do everything his way. You know, friends, this evening, here was a young man with a dissatisfied heart. A young man who dreamed of enjoying himself in the far country, away from his father and his brother. As far as he was concerned, the grass looked greener on the other side. He wanted to get out. He wanted to enjoy life. At least that's what he thought he wanted to do. And being rebellious, his dissatisfied heart led to a disappointed life. Whenever this young man got to the far country and blew everything that he had, you name it, he was involved in it. You name it, he had it. You name it, he enjoyed it. He went out and he was reckless in his living. He was riotous in his living. He was careless in his living. He did everything that he knew he possibly shouldn't do, thinking he was going to enjoy himself, thinking he was going to have a great time, thinking that life was going to be fantastic for him. But here was a young man with a dissatisfied heart, and it led to a disappointed life. You know, friends, soon as resources ran out, soon as friends left him, soon a famine came, and this young man was forced to do something for a stranger that he wouldn't even do for his father. He was forced to work. And what a job it was. Tell me this evening, is there someone here tonight, and you can identify with the prodigal son? Is there someone here tonight with a dissatisfied heart? Is there someone here tonight, and as far as you're concerned, you've had a disappointed life? Is there someone here tonight, and you think you're in the far country? You want to enjoy yourself. You're trying to do everything your way. And it's only leading to disappointment. Maybe you're a Christian here tonight. You're saved by the grace of God. No doubt about that. You're God's child this evening, but you're living in the far country. You're far from where you should be in your Christian life. You're far from walking with God. You're at a distance from God. You're not the person that God wants you to be. And you know in your heart you're not the person that you should be. Friends, is God speaking to you this evening? Sinner, is God speaking to you this evening? Saint, is God speaking to you this evening? This young man had a dissatisfied heart, and that eventually it led to a disappointed life. He thought the grass was going to be greener on the other side. He thought things were going to be fantastic for him. He thought life was going to be brilliant, and life was nothing but disappointment. A young man who was rebellious. Friends, here we have a young man who was repentant. Look at verses 17 to 19. It says, and when he came to himself, fantastic. When he came to himself, this man, young man came to realize in his own heart and in his own life that what he was doing was wrong. And the present stage in his life was pathetic. Where was I? He was out in the fields feeding pigs. He was doing something that he would never have dreamt of doing. He was doing something that deep down in his heart he would have hated doing. He was doing something that was pathetic, something that was disgraceful for a person like him to do. He was out feeding the swine. And verse 17 says, and he came to himself. He came to realize that what he had done was wrong. And he came to realize that his position in life was pathetic. Not only did he come to himself, but he changed his mind. Look at verse 18. It says, I will arise and go to my father and say unto my father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. This young man wanted to change his whole situation. This young man wanted to get away from the far country. This young man wanted to change his position. This young man changed his mind about himself. And he admitted that he was a sinner. Verse 18 says, "And will say unto my father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee." Friends, this evening, is that what you are? Are you a sinner this evening? Let me give you a little bit of information. We're all sinners tonight. Many of us here tonight are saved by the grace of God, but we're sinners saved by God's grace. Maybe there's some tonight and you're still in your sins. You're not saved. You're not God's child. You've never experienced the grace of God. This young man came to realize. He came to himself and he changed his mind. He recognized he was a sinner. And he wanted to do something about it. Not only did he come to himself, not only did he change his mind, but this young man confessed his unworthiness. Verse 18b says, "I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son." He confessed his unworthiness. He didn't deserve to be called a son. He didn't deserve to be called a son of his father. He didn't deserve to be in the position that he was genuinely in if he was back home. You know, this young man was sorry for his sins. He was sorry for the life that he had lived. He was sorry for the path that he had taken. He was sorry for the things that had happened in his life. He was sorry for the wrong that he had done. This young man was sorry, friends. You know, that's the beginning of repentance, to be sorry. You know, friends, if this young man had stopped here, he would have had nothing, only regret or remorse. If he had stopped here and forgot about everything else, he would have had nothing but regret. True repentance involves the will as well as the mind and the emotions. Look at verse 18. The young man said, "I will arise. I will go to my father. I will say to my father." This young man wanted to act upon what he believed. And you know, friends, that's what true repentance is all about. In Romans chapter 10, verse 9, we read that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. We've got to act upon what we believe. This young man was sorry for his sins, and this young man wanted to go back home and tell his daddy he was sorry and asked for forgiveness. You know, friends, that's all you have to do this evening. Tell God you're sorry for your sins. Ask God for forgiveness and thank him for sending the Lord Jesus. And he'll cleanse you afresh. He'll come into your life. And he'll make you a different person from the inside out. Young man who was rebellious. Young man who was repentant. A young man here who was returning. Verse 20 says, "And he arose and came to his father." Friends, he didn't hesitate. He didn't hold back any longer. He got up on his own two feet, and whatever he had, he headed back home with it. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, what are you going to do? You have a choice to make whether you like it or not. You're either going to go out through those doors at the back as a child of God, or you're going to go out lost in your sins and heading for a lost eternity. You're either going to go out with the joy of salvation in your life, or you're going to go out through those doors knowing that you're going to be lost forever. Friends, this evening, this young man was returning. This young man had made up his mind. He was heading home. What are you going to do tonight? Prodigal son in the far country, what are you going to do tonight? Christian in the far country, what are you going to do tonight? Are you going to return to the Father? Are you going to come back to God? Are you going to repent of the wrong that you have done? Are you going to give your life back to God and allow Him to take complete control? This young man was rebellious. This young man was repentant. This young man was returning. This young man was reconciled to his father. Verse 20 says, "And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thine hired servants. The father said to his servant, Bring forth the best robe, put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." You know, friends, when the prodigal was saying, "Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight, I'm no more worthy to be called your son," the father just interrupted. The father just broke in and ignored what he was saying, and he threw his arms round him and he kissed him, and he called to his servant and said, "Bring forth the best robe, put it on him, put a ring in his hand, and put shoes on his feet. This my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." You know, friends, this evening, in the far country, the prodigal son knew nothing. Or the prodigal son in the far country had learned the meaning of misery. He knew what misery was all about. But you know, back home, he learned the meaning of mercy. Mercy is when God gives us the things we don't deserve. The prodigal son in the far country had learned the meaning, the real meaning of misery. But back home with his father, he learned the real meaning of mercy. The father said, "Bring forth the best robe and put it on him." That was the sign of acceptance. The father said, "Bring a ring and put it in his finger." That was the sign of sonship. He said, "Bring forth the shoes and put them on his feet." And that was the sign of freedom. The son knew he wasn't worthy. The son knew he didn't deserve it. But the father showed mercy to his son. And the father accepted him back into the family. The father accepted him as a son. The father loved him so much. Oh, friends, this evening, I don't care where you are in the far country, Christian, tonight. I don't care what has happened in your life. There's nothing that God will not forgive. There's nothing in your life that you've done when you say sorry to God that He'll not draw you back to Himself and He'll bless you once again. According to Deuteronomy 21, this young man had brought disgrace on his family. And he had brought disgrace on the whole village. And he should have been stoned to death. That's what should have happened. Someone has said, if the neighbors had started to stone him, they would have hit his father instead for the way his father was embracing him. I'll say that again. Someone has said, if the neighbors had started to stone him, they would have hit his father instead, because of the way the father was embracing him. Friends, tonight, what a picture of what Jesus did for us on the cross. He took our place. He bore our punishment. He endured the wrath of God for our sin and for our sake and for our salvation. The Lord Jesus did what no other could do. He, the sinless one, gave his life that sinners like you and I could be saved, could be redeemed, could be reconciled to God. You know, friends, this young man was reconciled to his father. Let me say this, there's only one way to God tonight. If you're not saved, there's only one way, and that's through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's a young man who was rebellious. I'm almost finished. Here's a young man who was repentant. Here's a young man who was returning. Here's a young man who was reconciled. And here's a young man who was rejoicing. Look at verse 24. Verse 23 says, "Let us eat and be merry, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And they began to be merry. Friends, there was joy in that family because the prodigal had returned home. Is there going to be joy in heaven tonight because someone in Lisburn Baptist Church repented of their sin and trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior? Is there going to be joy in heaven tonight over someone coming to know the Lord? If you're not saved and you would like to be saved, talk with one of the elders, one of the office bearers, talk to myself, or simply bow your head and your heart and say, "Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner, but I thank you for dying for me. Come into my life and forgive me. Be my Savior and my friend." You know, friends, if you do that tonight and mean what you say, God will come in, God will forgive, God will cleanse, God will make you His child for time and for eternity. May someone come tonight and put their trust in the Savior.